6 p.m. Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. I'm going to call the meeting to order. Present, we have Ellis Merchant, Marilyn Prue, myself, Dina Lyon, and Jacqueline Lorien. Changes to the agenda, additions or deletions. I do have a deletion, item G, under discussion items, update from Community Giving Garden. They are not able to attend, so they will not be here. I don't have anything else to add.
I don't have anything.
No? Okay. Privilege of the floor. Jacqueline?
I'm good.
You're good.
I'm sorry, I do. What campsite was removed on Pageant Park?
It was, so we're taking the tent site away by the channel.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it's kind of like one that bends, so there's like one, two, three right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yep.
So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Minutes from the regular Board of Trustees meeting, October 14th, 2025.
I thought they looked good and didn't have any corrections.
Okay, I thought they were fine too. I will make a motion to approve the minutes from the regular Board of Trustees meeting dated October 14th, 2025 as presented.
I will second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Bills and warrants.
We've reviewed them and they all look fine, so I'll make a motion to approve the bills and warrants as presented.
I will second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. At the last VEPSA board meeting, so it would have been beginning of October, the first Wednesday of October, we had a discussion presentation from John Abbott, who works for VEPSA, discussed the issue of VSPC, so Vermont System Planning Committee. They have their own separate board, and he attends those meetings on behalf of VEPSA. And so when I looked up VSPC, the Vermont System Planning Committee, online, because I'm still learning these different companies and what their roles are and so forth, I went on their website to investigate them a little bit, and it looks like all of the municipality utility companies hold a seat on the board. And so Vera Laporte was listed for Barton Village. And there is not an alternate for any of the VEPSA members. So it was recommended by VEPSA that we appoint John Abbott of VEPSA, Vermont Public Power Supply Authority, to be the alternate board member for Barton Village Electric. So because I noticed on the website that it was still Vera listed, I have drafted up a letter that's in your packet that we need to, I'm asking you to review and consider to appoint me to be the primary transmission dependent utility VSPC board member to represent Barton Village Electric, and then to also appoint John Abbott as our alternate, because I'm actually acting as the business manager role in this. I'm going to recuse myself and leave this up to you.
But we can make you...
Yep. Similar to what we did to appoint me to the VEPSA board. It's the exact same thing. It's just this is for the Vermont System Planning Committee.
I'll make a motion to accept Gina for the Vermont System Planning Committee. Do I need more?
Yeah, we should. We need to.
And?
I'm asking that we appoint John Abbott as our alternate.
And also John Abbott as our alternate.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. So if you guys don't mind, can you sign that? And then I will get that off to who I need to get our representation updated. Thank you. Moving right along, discussion items. So the lady garden ladies are not able to be with us tonight, unfortunately. Just to give a brief synopsis, I believe they were coming to just give us an update on how successful they were this year, even though they didn't utilize our space due to the knotweed being treated. And I believe in passing, I had a conversation with Pam Kennedy in the CNC a couple months ago. I had asked her how it was going. She said it was going very well. They partnered with Barton Graded School, and I think that's part of the box gardens that are out on their lawns. She indicated that they probably were going to do that again for 2026 to allow the knotweed situation, even though the treatment is all done, they just wanted to allow more time for the pesticides and whatever out to get through the system. Plus, that project will be done hopefully this spring, April, May. Mm-hmm. So I'm just assuming that's what her intent was, but I'm sure I'll hear from her and we'll get it rescheduled. So for department operation updates, just a few things. Sheila has distributed a leave slip to all the employees to complete them when they're asking for taking any time off. And the purpose of this is for auditing purposes. So if we ever needed to have like a payroll audit, she just felt that this was a, you know, the time cards right now, it's just handwritten. There's no automated system or like a time clock or a payroll system. It's still via paper. So to have a trail, the paper trail, she just kind of, she completed this time off application for leave and or compensation for overtime worksheet. It was sent out to all the employees. They have received it. We've actually gotten a couple. In this week's payroll that you should have seen a couple as you were going through them. Some, you know, doctor's visits or they needed a personal day or anything like that. So I just wanted to let you know that that's great. What has been done. We did have an office staff meeting last Thursday, I believe it was. And we talked about doing a customer contact survey or to also, when we're on the phone with our customers, when they call to make a payment or they have questions, to update their demographic information. So their name, obviously their name, their address for mailing purposes, a good phone number, contact number, whether it's home or Excel, as well as an email address. This will allow us to contact people a little bit easier, is our thought. One thing that we did learn in El Dorado through, I believe it's called the Intuity program, we can send out a mass email to our electric customers or our water sewer customers if we needed to do anything. So for instance, when unfortunately our statements came out in that surcharge line, said site adjuster in error, we played around with it a little bit and we tested and sent out an email to our electric customers explaining the error, what it meant, and that the correction would be in this month's bill. And it was actually received pretty well. People responded, they received it, they got it. So I'm like, if anything, this tells us we need to encourage to get as much email address from everybody that we have for customers for that purpose. So I just created a quick little, it's on a pink piece of paper, similar to what I hung out on the window for our outage that's happening tomorrow night. It's on the counter and it's basically fill out your name. What's your mailing address? What's your service address? Because sometimes their service address where they receive their utilities is different than their mailing address, as well as, good phone numbers and email address so that we can go into all of their accounts, water, sewer, and electric, and update as much as possible. So I just want to let you know that that's out there. Department of Public Works, we have received a few applications. My meeting on October 17th with Sheriff Harlow and Chief Deputy Wells to discuss, you know, it was mostly during the summer, traffic issues with dirt bikes and so forth racing through the village. Okay. Went very, very well.
Hold on, I'm sorry. You joked from, okay. We've gotten a few applications to Sheriff Harlow.
Yeah, the applications are coming in.
For the part-time.
The part-time DPW.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, how does
that go? Whoa. Come on, Jacqueline. So we have received a few applications, yes.
She did take a breath. Yeah, it was quick, but she...
she keeps me on my toes.
On your fingers.
Are you still in Mexico?
Yes. No. A few applications have come in for Sheriff Arlo.
Okay.
No.
We have received a few applications for our DPW part-time position. Moving on.
Yes.
So I had my meeting on October 17th with Sheriff Harlow and Chief Deputy Wells to discuss the issues that some residents have come to me about and said, what can I do? What should I do? What can't I do? What are your recommendations? And I was with them for probably a good 45 minutes to an hour. We had a great conversation. They basically told me what I pretty much already knew and have been told and encouraged me to say, when something is happening, call 334-3333 and report it to dispatch. If it's during office hours, you'll get somebody at the sheriff's office. If it's after 5, it goes to the Newport PD. And they will call or dispatch the sheriff that's working. If they are not available, they will reach out to VSP, depending on the situation, okay? When things are happening is when that phone call needs to be made, because if a trooper can respond, they are more apt to catch them in the act and then do what they need to do to that individual to investigate. So they gave me some business cards with that number, their number and their name, and I have them. And I've instructed the ladies out front, in my absence, if anybody asks, we can give them this card and say, this is what you need to do. You need to call and report it, when it's happening. So that's where we're at. Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Period space.
Next. Salt sand shed. So it was supposed to have been delivered this week. I found out today. I talked to both Tyler Billingsley, the engineer, and the contractor's office staff person, Morrison Sons Excavating, that the company that we ordered it from is in Iowa, and they have not received it yet. Their hopes are to receive it before the end of this week, and then they will deliver it to us. So our hopes are we will have it on site next week. I haven't received a phone call from the contractor's office person. She was going to call me as soon as she heard from the company in Iowa with it's definitely going to be here Thursday, or it's definitely going to be here Friday. And she said, if I didn't hear from her today, I would more than likely hear from her tomorrow morning. So as of right now, it's looking like next week, as opposed to what we thought was going to be this week.
How long do they think it'll take to put it up?
I don't think it's going to take long at all. Actually, she and I need to connect, because they already have like a questionnaire that they want us to fill out. Basically, that says, can they, like, do we have certain hours that they can't be there? Can they be there on the weekends? And I verified with Andy, and Andy said, if it comes, just tell them, I don't care when they're here, just put it up. They're not going to be in my way. So.
And there shouldn't be a noise ordinance type issue, will it?
Well, I don't think they're going to work during the night, but they would work. Right. You know, they're like, are you limited that we can only be there 8 to 4 because you have a gate up and you're locking it?
Right.
Or, you know, can we not work on weekends? But
right.
He said, we'll make it work, because, you know, the sewer guys are there, water sewer guys are there for daily testing. So
right.
If they are here on the weekend, we can make it work. And I could also come down and open the gate and lock it up after them. So
gotcha.
We'll make it work. If they can get it here and get it up, we're going to let them do it.
Yep.
So during my conversation with Andy, let's go back a little bit. So at our last meeting, we had the conversation about how come there wasn't a back on the salt sand shed. So I saw Andy at some point after that meeting, and I asked him that question. And he said that it was designed that way so that there could be access at both ends, so that they could dump and retrieve product from both ends. He did not, the original plan wasn't for the slab to be poured in that exact spot. It was actually supposed to be angled a little bit differently. But the slab was poured while he was not here. He was on vacation, and so it was a little oversight. But he thinks the way it's positioned is going to work. But if we find that it ends up being an issue with the product from the wind and the blowing snow or rain, like we're concerned about, then we certainly can look at options to put some sort of packing on it. But that's the answer to our question.
Right.
Okay. So our skid steer snowblower attachment is in very bad shape. It's estimated that it's going to cost us about $3,000 to repair it, so that we would probably get it at least a good year out of it. Andy has gotten a piece of steel to refabricate the blade or the backing of it, but there's some bearing issues, bolt issues, belt issues, the grinders, there's just issues. He has started to get some estimates for a replacement snowblower for the skid steer to attach. I've only gotten one, maybe two, so I'm not prepared to present it to you, but just something to think about. My thought is, so he and I just did a quick search online and talked to a couple of different salesmen, and they run from $8,000 to $12,000 depending on the brand and if it's high flow versus slow flow.
Yeah.
And so our thought is, do we really want to put $3,000 into something that's only going to last us a year, and then we're going to turn around and spend $8,000 to $12,000 on a new one? So I might be coming with you with estimates to see if this is something that we can pursue. His thought is that he could fix this enough that we could then put our old one out to bid and maybe sell it for $1,000, $2,000 or something like that, which would also help to go towards the purchase of a new one. My thought was that maybe this is the DPW portion of that money we got from that Act 25 or 27, it was, from the state for the flood recuperation money that we got. So something to consider. But
so this is the snowblower attachment to the skid steer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So just a thought, something to think about, and once I get better estimates or quotes, I'll present it to you, and then we can have a more in-depth conversation. Water treatment facility.
Just before you move on,
yeah.
There's a couple, and I don't know if it's too late now, but there is a couple more potholes that are cured.
Yep.
Is that something that can be done or checked on again before winter, or are we done for this?
Well, no, he's hoping to get another good day to be able to do some patching. He recognized there are a couple. If you want to give me the locations, we can see. It's a temperature thing, whether it's hot patch versus cold patch. I don't even know if they're still making hot patch. I'm assuming they are. I don't know.
Well, that's why I asked. I don't know either. But it'd just be nice, I think, if he would just double check our roads, because I think we got a couple new ones on Park Street. I mean, I see them every day, so them are,
and that one
obvious.
Got filled.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's another one blew out, new one. I don't know why or how, but it seems like there's, I don't know, a couple on our street. And then I thought going up, what is that, 16?
Eastern.
Going up by you guys' house, I thought there was one or two on that road I thought I see somewhere.
They patched that too, but there is one down by the railroad tracks that he wants to fill.
Well, I don't remember where I saw them, but You know, it's just, if he could just make a double check and then have that on his schedule when he can to hit them before winter.
Weather permitting,
because
of course, yeah.
If they stay, they just blow out, and every time somebody hits them, they just get bigger and bigger and bigger.
So you think there's a couple on Park?
Park Street, I know there's one or two, but I mean, it might not take them long to hit them all, you know, if they...
Right.
If
well, I know he had wanted to do more on Main Street, Glover
Street.
Yeah,
maybe that's where I see some too. I don't know. I do know I've seen a couple around. It might not be a big deal.
Yep.
And he might say, well, you know, it ain't enough or worth it or whatever.
Well, and it depends on the product too.
Right.
So I'll talk to him.
You know, if he could at least take a ride around or keep notes of them, and then that way there, if he does have a day and he can.
Absolutely.
You know, then it'd be easy
to
run around and just patch a few more.
Yep.
But other than that, I think they're in pretty good shape.
They're not too bad, you know.
I mean, we've done a lot of co-patching this year, it seems like.
Yeah.
Or hot patch. That's
anything
all
else?
I have
okay.
On that thing.
Sure. Yeah, no problem. Water treatment facility. So Lucas is on vacation this week. However, he ended up working today due to an issue. I got a text from him. Actually, it wasn't a text. He called, and I was in a meeting. He left a message on my voicemail that the pneumatic pistons that operates through the wastegate for his filter stopped, and they shut the plant off. He was waiting to hear back from the manufacturer on ordering a replacement. He said that he wasn't sure how long it was going to take because it was coming from Italy. So I thought, oh, dear Lord, our plant is shut off. What's going on? How long is it going to take? Are we not making water? So I called him back, and I was like, and I got his voicemail, like, Lucas, I know you're not really working today, but you called and left a message, and yeah, just curious about when the plant's going to be up, and if you've heard anything, can you please call me? And he called back, and we did connect, and he was like, and I said, so are we down? And he's like, oh, no, the plant's back on. And I said, well, the way you left the message, it made me feel a little panicked that we were shut down, you couldn't make water, and you were waiting on a part from Italy, and you were waiting for the manufacturer, and who knew when it was going to come, and you didn't know how much it was going to be. And he goes, yeah, I kind of got from your voicemail and your voice that you were a little panicky. He goes, but we're all good. He said, I did have a spare. And I'm like, oh, please don't do that to me again.
Yeah, we get it, yeah.
So yes, he had a spare. He asked.
Did you call it the pneumatic pistons?
Pneumatic, yep. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-C is how he spelled it.
Can you do that again?
Like pneumonia? P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-C.
Thank you.
Yep, piston.
Close. I was close. I was like, pneumatic.
And maybe that's what it is pneumatic, but my text came up that way, so who knows. So I said, oh, okay, so the plant is good. You fixed it. And he said, yes, Jeremiah and Neat came over because they are doing his daily testing while he's on vacation. So they were there to learn and help and assist. And it was good. So anyway, he now wants to replace the spare. And he wants a few spares because he said the other one is more than likely going to go next. And I said, well, ballpark figure, what are you looking at? And he said, well, I don't really know. I'm still waiting to hear from the manufacturer, but he's estimating it to be $800 to $1,200 a piece. So I said, before you just go ahead and say yay, send me 10 of them. I need to know exactly how much they are, and you might not be able to get three. We might be able to give you two. You know, so he's going to let me know once he hears back.
Is that something that can be repacked or rebuilt?
He said he could not, and that he has had little luck finding anywhere else to get these replacement parts, but he was going to do some more investigating when he came back from vacation.
Is it a piston?
That's what it said.
Because I know somebody that can rebuild pistons and make parts and all that.
I don't know.
It'd be worth looking at the old one when he gets a new one in place. I'd like to see the old one if I could.
Well, they replaced it because apparently he did have a spare.
Okay.
So
maybe I can hook up with him or something.
Well, he's on vacation this week.
Oh, Okay. Well,
even though he worked today.
Right. Well, when he gets back on vacation.
He's coming back Saturday. So if you're around this weekend and you go up through early morning, you should see him there doing his testing.
About what time does he get there? Do you have
I really don't know. I'm thinking it's like 6-ish to...
Okay.
It's early.
I've seen him down there before, and I should stop anyway and just shoot the breeze once in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's a piston, might be able to get it fixed or made or whatever.
Cheap. Yeah, yeah. Well, and that might be great to connect because, like I said, he was going to investigate what other options he might have so he didn't have to rely on this company.
Right.
So. He is starting to plan for the filter grant project that is scheduled to happen early January. And that's the grant that needs to be completed, I think, by the end of February. So I'll be able to get everything submitted in time for the reimbursement and whatnot. So this is the filter project that has been in the works for just about a year, if not longer.
Yeah.
Andy and I met with FW Webb, salesperson in Orleans last week to look at water meter options. The reason being is the ones that we currently have, I guess we can no longer get and or get parts to replace. So we're just looking at options, and Orleans is looking because they're going to be doing the AMI project, and John just invited us to come down and hear what their spiel was to get an idea of what we're looking at possibly.
Can we use them AMI meters even though we don't have them hooked up?
Whatever we get, we need to make sure that the meter is going to work with our pad, our smart pad, or the gun to read, because that's how we're going to be doing it. Unless we look into and get a really good deal on our own AMI project, but I don't see that being very likely.
My only thought was Orleans is replacing all their meters. And I just wonder if when this happens, if there would be enough that Barton could use the parts from them.
It is a possibility, I believe. I think
they probably have the same type of 100-year-old meters.
I think so too. And John and I briefly had a conversation about it a while back. And I think it could be an option.
Can't get the parts.
We'll reach out, definitely. And I know that he does that now. Mm-hmm. I know he reaches out to your operator and says, do you happen to have? And, you know, they communicate.
Well, they must have some good ones that they're going to be taking out,
that's
too.
That's what I'm saying.
That you wouldn't even have to just switch the meter.
Right.
Yeah, so definitely worth a conversation.
300 and something meters, and out of that, depending on when Barton needed them.
Yep.
I would think.
Yep.
That it might be a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, they said something about that. There's some of these meters have a thing that goes on them for the AMI.
Yeah. So your water meters, they're the ones that we're getting don't have chambers in them, or like the testing measure isn't like a wheel type of thing.
It's by sound.
It's ultrasonic type of measurement. So I guess it measures really well the water that goes through it. So you have that in the basement, but that has to connect to what they call MTU. And this is all new to me too.
Okay.
That goes on the house. And then that house, so the meter gets the information from the water going through it, it goes to the MTU, then the MTU goes to the
DCU,
and from there it goes into our office.
Okay, now, can we get that meter and have it go to the house and then read it from the house like we do right now?
With our gun,
and then we'll be like one step closer to having that style set up?
Some offer it and some don't. So Andy and I met with a different company prior to the FW Web meeting, and it was EJP, EJ Prescott. They came here and met with us, and they did have a meter that would work with our gun, our reader now. And we could, and it's similar to what FW Webb explained. Mm-hmm. We could purchase a program to have it, but if we didn't, that meter would still read off from our with our sensor pad.
Because I'd hate to buy a brand new meter, and then if we do end up
switching
down, yep. switching, it'd be nice if.
I think all meters are going towards this,
right?
Anyway, but they realize that some people, right, and some can't afford or can't do the whole AMI, so they're doing it in pieces. So. Right. They realize that what you have for equipment has to work with that new meter.
Right.
The thing is, from what I understand, and I could be totally wrong, that the meters, I don't know if it's the meters, but the MTUs maybe have to be replaced like every 15 to 20 years. So
the battery in it.
Right, but I don't think you can take the battery out. It's just one part.
Oh, so that's on each individual home that has this?
Yes.
Yep. The company we met with, FW Webb, I think they said it was 15 to 20 years.
Right. Well, going through the VEPSA program that got the grant and that type of thing, we're going through Aclara.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an Aclara meter MTU that we have. But it doesn't, they don't make meters. But those MTUs have to get replaced like every 15 years because of the battery. And it's not like you can just open it up, put a new battery in, it's the whole piece. But they're not that all expensive if you didn't have to do them all at the same time. Right.
But do you have to unhook the pump from the house?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You do?
You do.
To change that? It's part of the pump. I mean, it's... The pump too. This part that you said goes.
No, it's just like a wiring device that goes to the meter. It's hooked to the meter, and they talk to each other.
Okay.
And then it gets to this MTU, like a radio wave from the MTU to the DCU.
Yeah, it's radio frequency
or something like that.
Yeah, when they were saying them, I was like, starting to go over my head a little bit, but. That sounded a lot more like something I could understand.
And I know we were kind of, we had talked about with this grant that VEPSA got for AMI for all of its electric customers and those for water too, if they opted in. And I guess Barton Village before had opted out. They didn't want this to be part of the grant. If there was some money left over, then they were going to try to get it to Barton Village for the water. But I don't think there's going to be any money left over.
No, because of the overrun on new parts and stuff.
Right, because it's been such a long time happening.
Right, and there's been other expenses that weren't accounted for. And it's
like
taking
them poles and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah,
the poles and the some...
I can't believe we had almost as many as Swanton poles to change out. That's frightening.
Yeah, it was because our service area is so large.
Yeah.
You know, but.
I'm sorry, I got us off track.
No, anyway. It's part of the conversation, so it was great. Wastewater treatment facility. Nate and Jeremiah are covering and doing the daily water testing while Lucas is on vacation. I asked that they rotate it, so Nate, one is doing wastewater and one is doing water, and they rotated it so they felt comfortable, and if they needed to connect together because, you know, to troubleshoot and whatnot, then they, you know, to reach out and whatnot. But I wanted to have them alternate so that one was doing one while one was doing the other, and then they would have some time to help Andy for DPW because he's solo still. So.
And when were you going to start looking at these people that have applied?
I am hoping to have a conversation with you tonight when we go in. I'm going to need to go into executive session. Okay. So.
So with this water testing, is there any look into the future that since they can do it, if he's on vacation, that they could do it?
I would like to. Weekends? I just don't know. I would need to. They absolutely, I think, can. We'll have to have a conversation with them, but I don't know. I mean, Lucas, I think, is going to have to train down to do the wastewater.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I think it should be universal, mm-hmm. so that it's one person on call for the weekend, and they could rotate it.
It'd be nice if they all had that same knowledge, at least,
do it. So this was a good step.
Yeah.
I think Lucas has been leery in the past to take vacation because of testing for this purpose. He did say he's very comfortable with having them do it. So I think that, you know, this is a good step for us.
Right.
So I'm hoping to broaden that. Yes.
Yep.
Electric. Ongoing pole and AMI project work continues. All DCUs have been installed. So that's good.
Oh, they are?
That's what John told me last week, that he got all the DCUs up. Or maybe the poles.
I think
he got the poles.
Yeah, because last night he said the poles.
So it's the poles, not the units itself.
But that's what them are going to go on.
Yep. Yeah. So the poles are all up.
And I think maybe they're doing some DCU installations as they're going.
Probably.
What does DCU mean?
Data collection units.
There's all kinds of acronyms that we've been learning.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
The green little men. See what's going on here.
Yeah.
Hydro plant. Project is progressing as scheduled. WIPS was supposed to be here today. They are the company that we ordered and got our headgate. They were supposed to be here today to perform the startup on the actuator of the headgate. So it should be automated and up and running. I have not heard from Dennis that that did not happen, and I didn't get any emails. I got all the emails that they were coming, so I'm assuming that they did show. The shop drawings for the reducer and penstock number 2 have been received, and Dubois and King approved them as of yesterday.
Great.
So that's good.
So that's going to be put together, the penstock now?
Well, it's got a, I think, I don't have a date as to, I think that, so it's been approved so it can be ordered and then shipped here.
Oh, so yep. It ain't here. Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was here.
No. This is just the shop drawings.
Oh.
We had a little bit of a delay.
So when are they going to start putting the penstock together? I mean, is that
part
of what?
Do they have to fabricate it first?
Yeah, they got to fabricate it and they're going to deliver it piece by piece.
Oh.
But, yep.
So they can't just send some of that tube so they can get it all together.
Yeah. So
it was pretty exciting last night with our joint meeting with Orleans and Lindenville Electric about our hydro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
how
pretty,
special it is,
yeah.
And how it's really a great thing.
Yeah, well, when you look at these RECs, renewable energy credits that we need to have for all the different tiers that the state is requiring, because as of 2035, we have to be 100% renewable energy.
And
the hydro is going to provide a lot of that for us. So, yeah.
So that was well spent money.
Man,
2035?
Yeah.
It's only 10 years away.
I know.
I'm hoping I'm right here.
I'm hoping I'm not.
No, I can't be that with you.
Well, not. I wasn't alive, bro.
Just maybe doing something.
I get it. That's all right. Oh, gosh, that's scary. 10 years. Like 10 years? It's only 10 years. Time flies, though. You're right. So. That's all I have for department updates.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any questions that we...
No, I'm asked as we hit them.
Okay. Other business? I don't have anything.
I don't have anything.
Okay. I do have a need to go into executive session for both legal action and personnel. So it is 6:40 p.m. Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. I'm going to make a motion that we go into executive session to discuss legal under 1 VSA State Statute 313AIE, following an executive session for personnel, 1 VSA State Statute 313A3.
Now you said AIE on...
A1E.
Yes.
Thank you. My bifocals aren't working very well. A1E. Thank you. So I have a motion on the table.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.